Now the word. We do this thing every Shabbat, the Shema. It's really the, you know, this is my way of describing it. It's the king of the blessings. You know, if somebody would say, what is the, of all of the things in Judaism, all the blessings, of all the prayers, of all the statements, of all the, you know, however, if someone would ask the question, and I believe that most would say the Shema. It all starts with, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And this is the blessing. And blessing is a little bit of, not quite the right word for it, but it's the statement, the declaration, it's the all of it that said soldiers that are dying in the battlefield. I watched a YouTube video a while ago of a little boy in bed, and his dad was tucking him in at bed, and this was a little boy, maybe, I don't think he was about two, and his dad was teaching him the Shema. And he was learning to say these words in Hebrew. And they're an American family, but he's learning to say these words in Hebrew. And that's kind of what this is. It's a very broad statement and blessing. Really, it is a blessing for us to know. And when we come and we say this here on Shabbat, every Shabbat and our special functions, the High Holy Days, we'll say it here on Wednesday at 6:30 in this room. When we say it, we're saying, we're making a declarative. Lord, you are one. You are one. And other things with it, but we're really declaring this. We're not just going through lip service. You know, there's nothing in the scriptures that says if you say these things, then you will qualify for heaven. That's not quite how it works. There is a point we do make a choice, and we say that we believe that Yeshua is the one. And we can own that. We say it publicly. We can own it to the point where we say it publicly. Our faith is there. Yeshua, you are the one. You are the risen one. You are Mashiach, Messiah. You are the Savior. And I believe that. So we say that publicly. The Shema, we say, is a reminder and a declarative. And we believe that the Lord is one. And we give our lives to the Lord. We get to that point and we say, you are the one. You are the one, Yeshua. Isn't this great? These verbal statements of ours, they mean something. There's other ones that don't mean anything. You know what I'm talking about. You've heard people say things to you. You have no idea what they're talking about. They mean nothing. Maybe a politician. Maybe your teacher was like Charlie Brown's teacher. You remember Charlie Brown. Don't act like you don't. You know, if some of you are looking very holy right now, Charlie Brown, you know. Charlie Brown's teacher would get up and talk in this, the teacher never had English words, you know. The teacher would say, murr, 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 and Charlie Brown would, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. There are statements that are like that in our lives, but when we come together, we make declaratives about God. They're the real deal, and we give our life to the Lord, it's the real deal, and we rally to that. All of that to set up what I'm going to get into. Second, and I want to tell you what's going on before we look at the verse. The temple is going to be rebuilt. This comes from, in a minute, we're going to read from the book of Ezra. But before we do, we have to know what Ezra is all about. Ezra is going back to the temple. It's going to be rebuilt. The Jewish people have been taken out of their land for the most part. They've been brought to Babylon. And they've been forced to live in the land and do the bidding of the Babylonian kings. And it's been a challenging time for them, but the Lord had prophesied and he had said, after 70 years, I will send you back. So after 70 years, and the Hebrews knew that, just bide our time there, 70 years, we're going to get sent back because the Lord had articulated this in advance. And after this time, 70 years, sure enough, they get sent back. And there is a building effort that goes around the walls and the city. And there's a group of people in the scriptures, a group of smaller books are about this whole event. It was that big of a deal. It took a big chunk up, a big chunk of space in the Tanakh because it's that big of a deal. And as the temple is being rebuilt and had ups and downs and challenges along the way, some Jews are still in Babylon. Some are rebuilding. There's some in the land that are not doing anything. It's really an interesting time. And as this is going on, the king of Babylon at the time decides he's going to give, just like the Lord said would happen, he's going to give a bunch of gold and silver for the refurbishing of the temple. He has this great idea to do this. Of course, it wasn't his idea. The Lord had said it was going to happen. But this king decides he's going to do this. He's going to send gold and silver and oil and grain and wine and all of these things that are worth a great deal of money, a high volume of things. So not just a little gold, but lots and lots and lots of gold, lots and lots and lots of silver, lots and lots and lots of wine, these types of things, he's going to send them. And he writes a letter to somebody who is in Jerusalem working on the rebuilding effort, and it's Ezra. Ezra's a scribe. His father or grandfather, I forget which one, was the last high priest before the temple fell. And Ezra had purpose to learn from the Lord. So Ezra's doing right by God, and he's also working on building the temple. He gets this letter from the king saying, come back to Babylon, get this stuff, and you can have it for your temple. What a great letter to get. What an amazing letter to get. Kind of out of nowhere type of letter. So this is where we jump in. He goes back, he gets all this stuff, and it's a lot of stuff. And then verse 21, Ezra 8:21, then I, Ezra, proclaimed a fast there at the Ahava River. By the way, Ahava, how many of you ladies know about Ahava beauty products? Maybe some of you guys. Do you know Ahava also means love? So when you put that on your face, it's like self-love. I don't know. At the Ahava River, so that we might humble ourselves before God and seek him, seek for him a straight way for us. Because they've got to go back to Jerusalem now. They were there. They've got to go back to Jerusalem. You know what? Just to give you a sense of how far that is, the Bible doesn't explicitly say it's this many miles, but we get a very good sense it's somewhere around, a lot of clues in the scriptures, somewhere around 1,000 miles. It takes 3 to 4 months. Also, there's very, very good clues in the scriptures, 3 to 4 months and around 1,000 miles. So this is a big journey. A big deal. So when he says we're going to fast and pray and figure out how to get there in the straightest line, well, it makes sense because you're carrying a lot of wealthy or rich things, you know, expensive things. For our little ones, they're bringing kids on this journey. And all of our possessions. 22, for I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and cavalry to protect us from the enemy during the way along the way, because we had spoken to the king saying, the gracious hand of our God is upon everyone who seeks him, but his great anger is against everyone who forsakes him. Do you see how he painted himself in a picture? Let me just say what he did. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Ezra personally is invited to go back to Babylon from the king, who loads him up with gold and silver and wine and oil and grain and all kinds of stuff to take back for the rebuilding of the temple. And Ezra is a right-standing guy with God. And when he gets the stuff from the king, he tells the king how wonderful God is and how much God doesn't put up with people who are opposed to him. So he leaves the king, he's got all this stuff, and he thinks, huh, these are my words, but huh, I'm in a bit of a pickle here. I can't ask the king for any military help to get all of this gold and silver and all this stuff back. It's about a four-month journey. We're going to go about 1,000 miles, and we're going to have children with us, which you know, and we all know, slow down trips like that. Don't make me pull the caravan over. You got to go again? Right? I mean, what? This is really a big deal. And Ezra's saying, but I can't ask the king, because I was just talking about how great God was. You know, these statements that we make, the Shema is a big statement. When we give our life to the Lord, it's a big statement. I will follow you, Lord. You are the risen Messiah, we say. These are big statements. And we look at Ezra's perspective of a big statement with the king, just as big. And he had to back it up. What's he going to do? They fasted and they prayed. And they sought God, and they really trusted in who God was. And we see this, we look on the very next verse. So we fasted, we sought our God about this, and he responded to our plea. We slide down a little bit in the chapter, and it said, Then we set out from the Hava River on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and the ambush along the way. Praise God! Ezra's words, they were true words. They were true words. He boasted in the Lord. Do you remember when you were a kid and you would talk about how your dad could beat up the other kid's dad? Anybody ever do that? You know, my dad can beat up your dad. Or maybe it wasn't about that. You know, school spirit. It's good that he gets some water, isn't it? School spirit might be another one. You know, our school rivals was Madison High School. Anybody go to Madison High School? One hand went up, and after service, we're going to have a demonic intercession prayer if anybody wants to stay around. School spirit was a big thing. And we would talk about in school, you know, we would boast, our school is going to beat your school. Doesn't matter what the event is. I went to a kind of a thug high school, and it was so bad that my high school band beat up another high school band after a game. And that is true. There was about 20 on 20, and my high school band prevailed against Madison. But we would do, you know, you understand school spirit. We're the best, you know, not you. We're the best, and you wish you were. You know, whatever the school cheers were. Ezra, when he talked to the king, he clearly just boasted in the Lord. He clearly just boasted in the greatness of God. His words were very evident to us. He talked that God was with his people. When we boast as humans, careers are a funny thing what people boast about. You know, it's people who make money in their life, they'll boast about that. Boast about job titles. Sometimes people boast about their children. Sometimes people boast about where they live. I know somebody from my past they lived in a neighborhood. It was a very, very, very nice neighborhood, but they never had any money, but they lived in the neighborhood. Well, I live here. Well, you can't even buy yourself a paper bag, but I hope you enjoy the neighborhood. But they boasted about where they lived. People will boast about the craziest things. My car is faster. You know what I mean? They boast about them. As believers, we have the Lord. We have what Ezra had. We have the Lord. Jeremiah 9. This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. Verse 24, but those who wish to boast should boast in this alone. And he says, boast in this, that they truly know me, they truly know the Lord, and understand that I am the Lord, that they really know him, and they really understand him. In other words, we're on this quest to know more and more and more of the Lord. So I say, as I'm learning the Lord, I know he is a God of great love. And the more I know that about God, the more I can give examples of that. Because I know him. They understand that I'm the Lord who demonstrates unfailing love. This isn't just love, by the way. This is chesed. This is love mixed with grace, mixed with mercy in this context. He's not just a God of just love. He's also a God of grace, but not just grace, but grace and love that work together. And not just grace and love, but mercy. And not just mercy, but grace, love, and mercy that all work together. We don't even have a word for it. We call it chesed. It's as close as we get. And understand that I am the Lord who demonstrates unfailing chesed, or love, who brings justice. Justice is, it's not just justice. This is another one of these words. Mishpat in Hebrew. This is a word that says, I set the laws. I set what's acceptable, and I measure to what's acceptable. So he has this chesed, this mercy, this grace, great love for us. And he tells us what to live by. And then he measures us to that. He doesn't just live it willy-nilly. It's like the laws don't change. And he brings justice and righteousness, a right standingness to the earth. that I delight in these things, I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what makes him happy. If we boast, let us boast in these things. Let us also consider boasting that he is a God who keeps his word. Let us also consider boasting that he is a God that knows everything, that nothing surprises him, that nothing can stop him, that he is the one, the great, that he is beyond our comprehension. These are things we boast at. Let us boast that he is jealous. In other words, if something is his, he keeps it. His holy name, he keeps it. He lets nothing defile his holy name. It's important to him. His people, he keeps, although he disciplines them sometimes. Sometimes they make poor choices, and there's consequences of those choices. But he always keeps his word because his word matters to him. He's jealous for it. Powerful. We make statements, let them be statements about the Lord. I know a lot of us already know this message. Why am I saying it? Why do I care about this today? Why do we care about this today? Because the news is killing me. 1 Chronicles 12, from the Issacharites, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. Now, there's all kinds of theories what this meant. The Issacharites, you know, sons of Issachar, what did they know? What didn't they know? Point is, they knew the day that they were living in. They knew the times they were in. And there was a blessing in that. It was a good thing. It was a compliment to that. And Esther, she was raised for the time that she was in to go and stop Haman. Give me a boo. Okay, if you don't know why we just booed for Haman, you need to come on Purim. Now, we are in nutty times. Do you know that? Watching the news is crazy. It is absolutely crazy. I am not going to sell Republican Kool-Aid today, and I'm not going to sell Democratic Kool-Aid today. What I'm going to say is we're living in crazy times with all these people who want us to buy their Kool-Aid. Our Kool-Aid is the king. He is our Kool-Aid provider. His Kool-Aid is good and tasty. It is not a Jim Jones Kool-Aid. It doesn't change Kool-Aid. Political parties change. Sometimes, you know, I look at some of the stuff that's happening now, and I go, well, that kind of reminds me of a Democrat like 50 years ago. You know what I mean? And I think of some of the Democrat stuff now, and I think, that kind of reminds me of a Republican 50 years ago. What's happening here? Are you guys switching notes? So I'm not talking about a party. But we need to remember, we're living in crazy times. The news, it's everybody's got a motive. Everybody looks at what's happening around us. 2 Timothy 3, these are the times that we're in. We're living in the last of the last days. There's no doubt about that. The scriptures are very clear. You should know this, Timothy, Paul says, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. These are difficult. We have technology to our eyeballs. We can do things in history that have never been done before. But these are crazy days. And they're difficult days, even with all these great advantages. I remember my mom telling me, and I thought she, you know, I get why she said this. I think everybody thought this back in the day. She said, Jimmy, computers are going to change everything. Someday we'll only have a 4-day work week. How many of you used to believe in stuff like that? Yeah! Computers just made different work, not less work. For people in these days, these last days, they will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Nothing is sacred. Do you know one of the words for nothing is sacred? It's atheist. Another one is agnostic. Another one is pompous. They're so full of their own view that they can let nothing else in. There's nothing sacred because it's not about them. There's a lot of ways of saying it. Verse 3, they will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others. How many of you have ever just listened to people on YouTube and the venom, that the garbage comes out of their mouth? Yeah. Or Instagram, the 30-second clip about the evils of somebody else. It's crazy. And it's so normalized. I don't know why it's normal to be in front of a camera and just say bad things about somebody and say, but that's my truth, and launch it in the stratosphere of foreverness. You know what I mean? They write these books. They're like little manifestos, and they post stuff. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. There was a point where the Pharisees were around, and Yeshua says, you don't understand the time you live in. You want a sign, but you miss what's in front of you. You miss, and these are my words, who I am. I am the sign. I'm the Messiah. No, those are my words. He did not say it, but he was getting to this idea that you're so busy looking for a sign, you're missing what's going around in the days that you're in. I think that we're living in a time where believers are doing the same thing. People who know the Lord, they're doing the same thing. They don't know the days that they're living in. They don't have a sense of that these are the last days. They don't have a sense that they've given their life to the Lord, that they've made a statement that He is Lord. And they don't follow through with it. They're afraid. They wonder what's going to become of them. I just want to bring a fresh word to say this. It's going to be all right if you stay with the Lord. In other words, keep walking out His principles. It's going to be all right. There's going to be hard days. The world isn't going to like us. I heard some politician, Lee and I heard some politician, former politician, I don't even know what they do anymore. It was a she, and she talked about the evils of white men in America and the churches they go to. That's an undisguised attack on our faith. I am a white man who believes in a lot of the doctrine of those churches that she was bashing. Of course, I believe in the messianic, you know. But you understand what I'm getting at. The world is not happy with us, but with the Lord, it's going to be all right. Our job, our whole mission is to do what Ezra did. Just live our words. That's our mission. Live our words. Do we believe that Yeshua is the Messiah? Because if we believe that, we believe He's coming back. Do we believe that He has prepared a place for us? Then He's prepared a place for us. Do we believe that anybody can stop Him? We say these things. We say that we just live it. We just do it. We live a life according to that. We can't be stopped in the eternal. Hebrews talks about those who died for their faith. They got it in the eternal. They knew it's there. The great beyond's there. This is just a temporary place. Don't let the world get you down. Don't let the world snooker you. Be strong. He's strong with you. He's faithful. He won't turn His back on you. So hang in there. Do you know that there is a revival going on in the world? And I want to give God some credit here. And I'm going to say something that I just hear my whole picture for this. The revival that's going on in the world had nothing to do with Charlie Kirk. Some of you are going to line up to punch me or maybe pray for demonic possession on me, but just I want you to hear me out for a minute. There was a revival that started in Africa some years ago, I don't know, 20 years ago, and it's really still been rolling. When I say revival, I mean massive. But most people in America don't have a sense of what's going on in Africa. About a decade ago, there was the largest service ever with 1 million people in attendance. They had buses to pick people up for prayer requests, and people who wanted to give their life to the Lord, they bus them from the back to the front. They had rows and connections of speaker systems to get all the way through the crowd. The people in the back couldn't even see the people in front. They had some screens, but they couldn't even see. Africa's been all over exploding for the Lord. The Middle East, it's amazing to me because we know the Middle East is a very oppressed place, and the most oppressed of the oppressed nations have had revivals going for some time. Iran, Lebanon, Iraq, Afghanistan, these are countries that are highly oppressed. Their people are oppressed from serving and following who Yeshua is, but there's the revival is going on there, and we have a very good sense nobody knows for sure, but the believed number is, and I think there's, you do your research on Google, I mean, I think this is a pretty credible number, about 30 million. 30 million in countries at risk of death. Still, though, the fastest growing population of believers in the world is in China. China. And the number one tourist group to go visit Israel in a place that you're not even allowed to talk about Yeshua like we talk about Yeshua is Chinese tourists that go to Israel. Who's telling them in China about Israel? Who's telling them that Israel matters? It's the scriptures. They find this group, this service, where however they worship, online and privately. They have these underground communities. And they read in the book, and the book is so clear. Israel matters in the last day. And they go, I want to go see Israel. And they go see Israel, and they send money to Israel. They're not even connected to anything. It's a lot like what's happening in the Middle East. They're not even connected. There's a revival going on in the UK right now, and this is a weird revival. I was there a couple years ago with another guy. We were in Wales, and it was a conference of Welsh people, and some English were there, and two Americans that they didn't really know what to do with us because we just invited ourselves, and it's true. And they're talking about a lot of revivals in history have started in Wales, and they call themselves the land of revivals because so many have started there. And while we're there, they were talking amongst themselves, you know, Welsh talking to Welsh, so to speak. And they're saying, I don't really understand. It seems like people are listening more about the Lord, but I don't know what to do with it. Now, this was two and a half years ago that they were saying this. And now, if we look back over these last 2.5 years, what's been happening? Many, many, many communities in all of the UK have doubled in size, but nobody knows why. It just kind of happened. Somebody came, somebody invited a friend. Maybe they were 30 people as a community, now they're 60. Maybe they're 100, now they're 200. They don't really know what's going on. It's so much so, and it's happened so quietly, they just started calling it the quiet revival. But nobody knows why. The Lord's been moving sovereignly in the UK for these last couple years in a new way, a fresh way, that they can see that brings souls, and their eyes are, it's a big deal. We don't even know about it here in America. In America, we tend to look at America as being the tone setter for the world. But I don't think that's how the Ruach, how the Spirit feels about that. I think he looks at America as just, you know, a spot. He's telling people about him. It's happening all around us. Now, he has this way of working all things for good because he says he works all things for good. If we believe that he's Lord, if we believe that nobody can stop him, that he knows everything, we believe then that when he works, that he does work all things for good in his name. All things for him. So he can take the most terrible things and make the most wonderful things happen out of them. Whether it's here in America or wherever. Do you know there's been a revival going on in America for about 2 years now? It started in southern universities, mostly southern universities, with a bunch of young white men. In spite of that politician. And they've been giving their life to the Lord, and nobody really knows why. They just want to know. And they just want to see what the Lord's doing. Because he's the king. And people want to know what the king does, even if they don't know he's the king. Amen? Our job is to just live our words. Trust the Lord. Let him be Lord. Let him be Messiah like we said he was. And the rest will come out okay. Don't be discouraged in these days. The Lord will meet the challenges of the day. He'll have no problem. He's not intimidated. You know that. He's not surprised at what's going on. He doesn't freak out at a politician's statement. He's very smart. If you have never established a relationship with the Lord, it's a good day to do it. It's a good day to do it. If you would like to do that, if you would like to declare that Yeshua is the Messiah, that He is the one, and you want to follow Him, if you want to say it and live it, start today. After service, we're going to have a couple elders up here. Peter, who's playing guitar. Keith, our other elder. You can see me and my dad. You can see the person that brought you, if somebody brought you. And just say, would you just pray with me? I just want to do this. I want to declare, and I want to follow Yeshua as my Messiah. And I'm going to live those words. As we go into the Day of Atonement, really, we're reminded how small we are and how big He is. Live the words. Amen? Please stand up. Let's pray for us. Lord God, we will never comprehend all of You, but we sure appreciate the journey to learn more. Teach us more, Lord. Teach us more of Your way. Teach us more of what You would have for us, what You want us to do. Help us remember in the times that are scary times or challenging times that they're just times and You're greater. Help us live our words well for You, please, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav aliyecha vihunecha. Yesei Adonai panav aliyecha v'yeseim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Be blessed.